Hi, everybody. I'm Steve Tyler from RNIB. I'm head of solutions, strategy, and planning. I have a number of roles this evening. One of them is to ensure that we're out of here by 6:45 sharp. The second is to apologize, and I will do that now. I'm sorry. I'm apologizing because there was a video shown earlier on, and a number of you didn't know what it was. This was right at the top of the sessions this afternoon, the latter part of this afternoon. And it's a fantastic proposition. We squeezed it in at the last minute. The company is called Feed of Me, and you can find them on feedofme.com. You can drop me a line at steve.tyler@rnib.org.uk. after the event, if you can't find them yourselves. And if they're here now, if you stand up and make yourselves visible, colleagues can pinpoint where you are and point you out to our non-sighted colleagues. I also just want to describe what this fireside chat is. I mean, think of it as, you know, normally what you'd have is a screen. We stole the idea from Google, actually. Normally what you'd have is a screen, and it would be all pretty fancy, and there would be a fireside. Well, it's very accessible because there is no fireside screen. Indeed, it's not going to be a fireside chat so much as a sort of, imagine a bit of a roaring inferno, and we've got to be out of here pretty rapidly. So it's going to be quick fire. But we did want to bring some of this to your attention, and think of it as a thought piece. Think of it as something that we want you to take away and consider, because by next year, I think we'll be further down the track. So this session is about autonomous vehicles. It's about... it's about the proposition that is around the investment that's being taken by Google, by many organisations, some of whom we're not allowed to mention. But Ford has been very clear that by 2021, they will have vehicles that are autonomous on the streets. So I wanted to paint a picture. When we think about autonomous vehicles, we think about not just the possibility of flagging down a vehicle, getting into it independently, and for it to accessibly take us where we want to go. And you might even own one. You might rent it. But autonomous vehicles covers a multitude of sins. Imagine an Amazon drone coming to deliver your groceries. Or imagine going outside your house to be greeted by something hovering just at about chest height, I would imagine, with you know, your latest gizmo that you've just ordered. All of that is accessible, and all of that is something that we begin to take for granted, rather like the way we've begun to take for granted immediate delivery. For those of us that are Amazon Prime members, of products, and the way in which shopping has completely changed over the past 10 years, certainly in the UK. My colleagues, starting from my right at the end, we'll just go down the line, 10 seconds on who you are each, and then I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about that.
Hello there, I'm Alan Nettleton from the Transport Systems Catapult. You may have seen me outside with the self-driving vehicle that we have, which we're developing for the streets of Milton Keynes.
Hi there, I'm Jamie Champensley, also from the Transport Systems Catapult. I'm a principal technologist, and also you'd have seen me outside, but I'm very much in the human-centred design sort of part of the world.
I'm Ellie Southwood, I'm vice chair of the RNIB group, and can't wait to have my first driverless car.
And I'm Stephen Scott from RNIB Connect Radio, and I host a programme called Tech Talk, which all of us on our show and everyone who listens is equal to Ellie and wants our own driverless car.
So some of the questions that I know that developers have been struggling with range far and wide, from will Uber have drivers through to whose fault was it? Whose fault was it when there was an incident? Was it the car driver's fault, the owner's fault? Was it the manufacturer's fault? Was it the guys who fit the navigation system and the sensors? Was it something that we now begin to live with in a very different way? You know, you'll remember maybe 10 or 15 years ago when we had systems that didn't rely on software in quite the way we do now. It was inconceivable, for example, that your phone would crash, wasn't it? But today it's just fine. So, to my colleagues on my right, and starting with Alan, I think, am I right? Will 2021 give us anywhere near the vision that I'm thinking of?
Well, I think that's always the million-dollar question: is how soon they're going to be with us, and it's what Ford have announced seems very ambitious in that they're offering a public transport service without a driver. Whether they'll get there or not, it's debatable. There's a lot of awkward driving situations that a car has to deal with. There's weather, there's different junction types, there's pedestrians, cyclists, animals on the road. There's a whole number of challenges to deal with. But they've made the commitment now. They're not the only ones that are thinking very ambitiously. I think the likes of Tesla and Volvo and all the other major companies, and not least Google, who kind of kick-started this whole thing into action. So with the millions that they're pouring into research in this area and the miles and miles and miles that they're testing, thousands / millions of miles that they're testing now, who's to say that they won't? We're certainly taking our trial very seriously in Milton Keynes. We're trying to get something working on the footpaths there. I think the more research that goes into this area, the better.
Jamie, tell me about the Milton Keynes trial and what the Catapult is about.
Well, so the Transport Systems Catapult is really it's a government-funded organisation there to boost really about technology and innovation. We're here to try and support UK R&D and sort of the great ideas that come out in academia, all the sort of inspiring blue sky concepts that sort of often organisations are quite scared to take it into that commercial space because of the amount of risk investment that's involved and elements like that. So it's what we've done, the LUTS Pathfinder project that you'd have seen Alan outside with today, and he's here tomorrow as well to take you really through some more of that detail of the project. It's a real interesting technology demonstrator. So it's kind of getting some proof of concepts of what is transport, autonomous transport, like on the pavement. So it does something slightly different to, say, the Google car, which is based on the roads, where there are a number of rules, regulations, some sort of laws that people sort of adhere to some degree. Whereas on the pavement, it's a bit of a melee. It's a bit of a free-for-all. There's people coming towards you. There's people cutting across. There's all sorts of other sort of vehicles. And then we have, impaired users as well, which is a really interesting challenge for us to make sure that we understand. I mean, there's a lot of coverage in the press about, what noises these things should make and the standardized sort of sounds or interactions that you've got. So from my perspective, there's a lot in terms of how the person communicates to the vehicle, how the vehicle communicates to the person, not only inside the vehicle, but out external to the vehicle. There's a lot of gestures, micro gestures, behaviors, things that we pick up between drivers and vehicles, and the sounds and the sensations that you get of the vehicles moving around you, and how we capture that and start to make sure that all these manufacturers that do talk about it, as you said, Steve, about Ford and so on, how they start to capture that and address those challenges.
But how serious is government about it, or what's the ambition? I mean, is it a technological fest where people are kind of just chucking technology at stuff and seeing whether it works? Or is there really, will these vehicles be safer, for example, than, I was going to say, me driving, clearly, that's entirely ridiculous. Or is it?
The Well, the first point about how seriously government is taking this, the answer to that is actually extremely seriously. The Department for Transport were one of the first governments to issue a code of practice for testing of these vehicles, which is widely acknowledged to be one of the best sort of regulatory approaches to take. They've set up a Centre for Connected and Autonomous Vehicles called CCAV, which sits within government offices, and they're here to accelerate this process and talk to the big car companies and universities and everybody else and try and get everybody working together. But they've also invested serious amounts of cash into getting these programs started, not least of all our own program, but the driverless car competitions and everything else that's going on. So they're taking this very seriously. The second point about how serious is this just throwing tech together and seeing if it works? Well, partly, yes, but I think there is a real vision here that the pod in kind of low speed urban environment is a vision of a new way of doing public transport, which is very energy efficient and it moves people where they want to go and when they want to go. There's another vision which is something that can take control of your own private vehicle for certain sections of the motorway, such as on the motor, section of the motorway, for example. It might not be able to do the whole journey, but it might be able to relieve the driver of some of the driving tasks during the journey, so you can check your emails or do other things whilst you're on that journey. There's a lot of societal benefits, potential environmental benefits, potential congestion benefits, and potential road safety benefits. So there's huge incentives for governments, and it's almost become like an arms race internationally to see which government can do most to encourage this technology, which is encouraging.
And are we at the forefront? Where are we? I mean, Jamie, would you say, when will we see some of this stuff genuinely come to life in any way, shape, or form? I mean, from a public perspective?
I think there's some really interesting challenges. I mean, a lot in terms of the technology is progressing very quickly, and you're starting to see things like Tesla and those sort of auto-drive systems. You're seeing a lot more assistance sort of systems being introduced into the car. So I think it's, say, Mercedes, without sort of mentioning too many brands, but Mercedes, I think there's up to 80 driver assistance features, for instance, in that. So there's a number of things trying to standardise human behaviour in that respect, because there's such variability in the performance of every person. So as we said about, you know, how good a driver are you? And we normally have a normal distribution curve where there's a lot of people under that middle bit, but surely all of us are above average, you know. Mm. I'm a good driver, you know. But there's got to be people falling on the other side of that sort of, the other side of middle. So to try and standardise some of those behaviours, bring those behaviours up, you start to see them, some of those technologies sort of filtering into, say, public services like the buses, for
but
instance.
What about the vision? What about a blind person flagging down an autonomous vehicle and going somewhere completely independently? What about that?
Well, let me just jump in. I think in all seriousness, we're a long way from that step. A vehicle that can go wherever a human driver can currently drive.
You've burst. That's it.
Well, I think it's important.
You can just get off the. That's it.
I think it's important because we don't want to be overselling this technology as it exists at the moment. But at the same time, let's think about what we can do. Let's focus on particular areas where we can map them in great detail and we can try and handle the particular things that happen within those areas. But it's going to be incremental. It's not going to be an overnight suddenly we can do this on every road in every environmental condition.
Well, with my bubble burst.
my apologies.
Ellie, you have the onerous task of being our vice chair. Mm-hmm. And with that comes responsibility around strategy and direction from an RNIB perspective. It doesn't really matter what strategies RNIB adopt, frankly. One of the things that our members, our customers, continually tell us is that travel, independent travel, going to see your friends, going to places you want to go to, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, that is an absolutely core theme that continually comes through, and access to travel is a big deal for everybody. What's your take on the vision, and what's your take on what you've heard so far?
Okay, so I mean, I think I think you're right in the sense that it doesn't matter what strategy RNIB decides to adopt. We could spend a long, long time, as one might argue we frequently do, on getting the right policy in place. And I think what you say about our community just wanting the access that's there is dead right. So I think there's a couple of things. There's an expectation management issue, just picking up on what our colleagues have said, that this isn't an overnight thing, but we have the best opportunity we have ever had, and actually, given the momentum that's behind this, that now is the right time to put our community directly in touch with the companies, the Fords, the technology companies who are developing this stuff, so that even if what we can't say is, here is your driverless car in, you know, January the 1st, 2021, here is your driverless car, what we can be confident about is that the blind and partially sighted community has been absolutely involved in the development of both the technology, but also some of the more subtle things. So we've talked a little bit about development of legislation and regulation, and of course that's really important, but the development of sort of social norms around this stuff is also quite interesting, I think. So, you know, some technology takes a long time to catch on because it's not just change, but, you know, it actually quite fundamentally changes people's experience of being out and about. So I think in order to make sure that when things do get to a point where, you know, blind and partially sighted people can just hail that autonomous Uber or whatever it is. And by the way, that opens up a whole load of things about who actually owns the car and stuff. Okay. You might have companies now reinvesting in massive fleets of cars, having spent the last 20 years divesting themselves of them. So that's quite interesting too. But at that point, I really want blind and partially sighted people to feel part of that and to feel confident, and ideally more confident than the general population, about taking advantage of that.
Steve, you spend a lot of time listening and understanding ideas and trying to get messages across to people who have absolutely no idea about this stuff, and you're part of our role through our radio broadcast, and I know your interest generally in this area. But part of our role is to inform people, to engage them, to get them involved. What would your messages be based on some of this discussion?
Well, I came in with hope, and then I'm leaving without hope. I thought I was going to get that car outside. I've offered everything I can think of, but I'm not getting it, apparently. This one outside is not for sale. You know, what I've learned by hearing from our audience and speaking to our audience is that there's a real hunger to learn more about this, but I think there's also perhaps a realism out there that this is not something that's going to happen overnight. I think we would love it to happen. I mean, I want one today, but that's not real. It's not likely. I think also there's a lot of question marks over how we will own cars in the future. Will we ever, will anyone ever actually own a car? Will it just be that we hail a vehicle, that a vehicle turns up? And I think that changes the whole conversation around, if it changes the conversation around car ownership, then that starts an interesting conversation for us as blind people, because eventually there may come a time when it will just be accepted that this is how these vehicles operate, and we as blind people can start using them. And it's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of discussion. It'll take years, I imagine, to ever get to the point where a blind person, like Steve or Ellie or myself, can get into a car and just go somewhere and go to that little pub that we've always fancied going to on a Saturday afternoon. But, you know, the buses don't go there and it costs a fortune in a taxi and all that stuff. And, you know, let's be honest about it. Sometimes listening to a taxi driver can put you off taxi travel for life. So, you know, that alone, these elements, once you take all that away and eventually we have the conversation, hopefully with the government at some point, and we get the right, it's fine, let's do it, then let's hope we get to that point. But I think realistically we are looking at it at, you know, 5, 10, 15 years perhaps. And I think our audience understand that, Steve. I think they get it, and I think they know that. And I think there's the fear about driverless cars comes more from drivers, I've noticed. Yeah. It's drivers themselves who say, oh, I like driving. I don't want to give that up. And you feel like saying, shut up. Don't say that. Because if you say that, then you're knocking out the part for the rest of us. But we're actually not going to stop this kind of progression. And that's good news.
So time is up. You know, the inferno has taken hold. I am a glass half full guy, actually. I believe.
Sorry, can I just jump in? Because I don't want to.
No, no, no. There's no.
Fix it now.
You can't.
You've done
that's,
it.
That's it. You've said your thing. but I know what you're going to. No, honestly, I'll wrap it up nicely. It'll be fine. the thing is,
there is a lot of reason to be optimistic.
There is a lot of reason. Actually, who would have guessed Uber 2 years ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who would have said Google would be a verb? Mm. Yeah. Who would have said Uber would be one of the biggest companies on the planet that is a taxi company that owns no cars?
Yeah.
Who would have said that 2 years ago? And that's why I choose to believe that by 2030 there will be such things as direct brain-to-cloud interface. I'm not going to tell you who told me that, but they genuinely believe that, and I'm right there with them. In the same way, I believe that by 2021, Ford will have their way, and actually by 2018, we will see the technology deliver in spades, I suspect, much more quickly than we imagine. Yeah. And with that, for those of you who are going to the reception and dinner, and you should know who you are because it should be specific as an invite or an agreement that you're going, then we'd like to see you there. For those who are not, we would love to see you tomorrow morning for another full day at the conference. I hope you had a great time, and we'll see you in the morning. Cheers.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah. Okay.